This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. Scott Simon is away. I'm Linda Wertheimer.
We are not going to do a pell-mell rush into the city. It's going to be deliberate, it will be precise, and it will be overwhelming. We will not rush in to make things worse. We will plan our way through this, and we will reestablish control of that city, and we will pacify that city.
U.S. Army General Mark Kemmett speaking from Baghdad this week. The U.S. military is planning a response to Wednesday's mob scene in Fallujah, where four American civilians were killed and then their bodies were mutilated. NPR senior news analyst Dan Shore is here. Hello, Dan.
Good morning, Linda.
So, Dan, do these grisly attacks combined with the constant violence in the Sunni Triangle, do you think this endangers the planned June 30 handover of power to the Iraqis?
Well, the Bush administration and the generals, as we just heard, keep reiterating that they will not be driven away and that at the proper time they will move in and do what needs to be done, and that everything remains on track for a handover of power on June the 30th. The United States is now asking NATO to help. They're not likely to get much help from NATO, asking the UN to help. But one thing seems clear. If there is a symbolic handover of sovereignty on June the 30th, that is far from meaning that American troops will be leaving in any great number then. If this handover is supposed to happen on schedule, I think whether it does or not will really depend on how many Fallujahs there are in these months, and then how America reacts to what it sees.
Several American news agencies ran graphic pictures of the scenes in Fallujah, and we saw some terrible things in those pictures. Others chose not to show the pictures. This is a dilemma that comes up often in the media.
Yes, this is a dilemma of horrible things when they happen in a media age. Of course, a classic event that everybody who was old enough to know about it remembers was in Mogadishu, Somalia, 1993, that gave us the motion picture Black Hawk Down, but which finally ended up with a picture of an American airman's body that was being dragged through the streets. Now we have, and by the way, shortly thereafter, the troops left because State Department, the U.S. government, simply couldn't take that anymore. Now, we have the problem of what you do in a case where some grisly things have happened in Fallujah, and what does television do, what do newspapers and magazines do? What they're trying to do, and I give them full credit for this, is to show what happened, because Americans should know what happened, but not in all its grisly detail, blurring a picture here or there, giving you a sense of what has happened without giving you the worst details. I think that it's fairly responsible.
Let's turn to the other major story of the week. Condoleezza Rice will now testify before the 9/11 Commission, publicly and under oath. The commission will have 2.5 hours with her on Thursday. How do you account for the White House reversing position on this?
Well, they just backed themselves into an unimaginably impossible situation. Here was Richard Clark, the former anti-terror coordinator, who was holding the spotlight and holding his place on the bestseller lists, and nobody was challenging him. And he was getting an awful lot of attention and making the administration look very, very bad. At the same time, you were getting Condoleezza Rice making appearances, not before a commission, but on television. She was all over television, making appearances, explaining why she couldn't make appearances. That turned out to be not a viable position for them to take. And in the end, they said, all right already. 2.5 hours under oath in public, yes, but please, just 2.5 hours.
President Bush and Vice President Cheney, as part of this treaty with the commission, will also appear. But they will appear in a private session, not under oath, the president and vice president appearing together. I thought that's kind of surprising.
Yes. I always thought that for security reasons, the president and the vice president were not supposed to be in the same advertised place at the same time. But I guess you can make changes there, too. I think cartoonists are now having a field day with a sort of Charlie McCarthy kind of panel showing Vice President Cheney as a ventriloquist with the president as his voice. I don't know why they feel they have to do these things, but I don't know.
It was also revealed this week that the White House withheld thousands of pages of Clinton-era documents from the 9/11 Commission. What do you think about that? Does that make sense?
Well, I think this bears out, Linda, I think this is the most secretive administration in recent history. If there's anything that they can keep secret, it appears that they will keep it secret. Although President Bush keeps saying that he's going all out to cooperate with the 9/11 Commission, then you find that he's holding back some 10,000 pages of documents from the Clinton era. Why? Well, they said they're sensitive. Why? Well, they duplicate other materials. Now they've given, as usual, the sort of compromise position. Okay. You can come and review them, but you can't take them home with you.
I think they seem to be still working on that one. The polls are showing President Bush and Senator Kerry almost neck and neck.
Yeah.
So the 9/11 investigation, recent events in Iraq, do you think this affects the campaign?
Well, the Los Angeles Times had a poll indicating that 62% of people agree that they were a little lax in keeping up with terrorism before 9/11 happened. It is hard to say. It's a little bit early because all we've had really so far is Dick Clark. We have to see how the administration reacts and whether they can convince a public becoming steadily more skeptical that they did all they could and how were they to know something like this could happen.
The Bush administration trying to prepare for whether or not they were prepared for 9/11.
Right.
There was some very good news for the Bush administration this week. The Labor Department says that more than 300,000 new jobs were created in March. Does that mean less of a jobless recovery, more jobs?
It certainly does. It is the biggest growth in jobs in any one quarter in the past 4 years. Unemployment also edged up a little bit, a tenth of a point, but that may reflect more people trying to reenter the job market. President Bush says his policies are working. The economy is getting stronger. At this point, he does have a right to say that.
Something else going up, gas prices. That's also been a campaign issue this week. In areas of California, gas costs upwards of $3. Is it too early to think about how gas prices will resonate with voters?
Well, anyone old enough will remember the trouble that President Carter got into when there were gas lines. It was much worse than it is now. Now the price is going up. Then there wasn't gas to be had. It makes life a little difficult. You have to deal with OPEC, which is seizing the opportunity to bring down production and thus help to keep prices high. It is entering into politics because both candidates are very, very, each one blaming the other. For the fact that we have all this gasoline trouble, the question being whether or not the Bush energy policy should have been accepted. And yes, it is on the verge of becoming the latest issue to get into the election campaign.
Dan, thanks very much.
My pleasure.
NPR senior news analyst Daniel Shore.